I think I've said this to Rachel before, or at least I hope I've said this to Rachel before, but if you're going to come into Covenant Grove and you want them to meet somebody, you want them to meet Rachel. Right? Right? I wanted her to be, when we, you know, like Easter's a big day. I wanted to make sure that Rachel was front and center because she just, what she portrays is just so great. And thank you for being good at what you do. It's like she really works at it too. So just, she's not just that winsome. She works at it. So we've been in the series called Imagine Heaven because we all want to know, right? What's it going to look like? And today we're going to give you a sneak peek of what it's going to look like. But there's a purpose beyond just you feeling good about heaven and what it's going to look like for you. Because I think a good understanding of heaven sets good priorities on earth. But we're going to have a little bit fun and find out what heaven is going to look like, what the Bible tells us. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. 74% of people believe in the afterlife. Did you know that? 74% believe in heaven. Only 59% believe in hell. So we're going to talk about heaven today, but we're also going to talk about hell today. All right, you excited about that? You are. Okay, this church is so weird. You're more excited to talk about hell than heaven. Okay. Why is it that we care? Aaron said this. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has set eternity in the hearts of men. The reason why we care, the reason why we think about it, the reason why all around the world people have these theologies, they believe different things. But the reason why they have them is because we are eternal beings. We are originally intended to be eternal beings. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. And I think one of the reasons why we don't know about heaven is it's just like planning a good vacation, right? You want to make sure that you know where you're going, right? Years ago, my family went to Orlando. And I feel like you got to go to Orlando. If you have children, you got to go to Orlando once in your life. It's like Mecca, right? Like your kids could almost call CPS if you don't take them to Orlando sometime. And I was actually speaking at a conference there, and we decided, hey, we're going to go, and it'd be fun. And I wanted, since I thought, man, I don't know if we're ever coming back. I want to make sure that the hotel we stay at is an amazing hotel. So I chose this hotel. It was a Disney hotel, and I chose it because it said it had a water slide for the kids. So on day one, I showed up, and I'm wandering around this hotel, and it's nice. And I'm looking at the different pools. I go, I don't know. I wonder where the water slide is. And I finally wander up to one of the workers, and he leads me over to this pool. It is a maybe 5-foot water slide. I booked an entire stay at this Orlando hotel for a stinking 5-foot water slide. Listen, we need to make sure we know where we're going, right? I love this. John Eldridge put this in his book, Journey of Desire, because this is how a lot of Christians think. Nearly every Christian I have spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. We have settled on the image of this never-ending sing-along in the sky, one great hymn after another, forever and ever, amen, and our hearts sink. Forever and ever? That's it? That's the good news? Okay, first off, I want to say, ladies, the worship today was great, okay? But if that was it, it's just church, and I never get to go to the game, watch the game afterwards, you know, we never get to go outside. I don't know that I want anything to do that with that. Today I want you to understand that heaven is not just clouds and harps and bathrobes. But it's great. And I'm going to give it to you in four different sections, all right? First off, heaven for the nature lover. Anybody love nature? Just like going out. You just love walking through the cow pastures of Modesto. You know, that's just You're full. That fills you. You know, we kind of get an idea that heaven is just kind of this vague, foggy. I know, I'm pretty sure the streets are gold. And, you know, what does that even look like? Well, you have an idea of what it looks like. The earth. That's our sneak peek of heaven, is the earth. It's going to look similar to what the earth like looks now. It's just the earth put back to its original specs. Romans 8:19 says this. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. All right? Creation. No, not, people are not just saved. Creation is saved. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Last week we talked about what happened to us in the garden when we decided to walk away from God, and it wasn't good. That's when sin came in. Well, sin came into the world too then. So from that time, it's been degrading. It's gotten less and less and less. But God has a plan, not just for us, but for our earth. Acts 3:21. He must remain in heaven until the time comes. He's talking about Jesus. He's going to be in heaven. And when the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophet, restore everything. Okay, do you know how long I'm going to live? I know how long I'm going to live. I am going to live to be 90 years old. Do you know how I know I'm going to live to be 90 years old? Because when I was 45, I bought a 1973 Plymouth Satellite. And there's no other way to describe it than a midlife crisis. Okay? I'm going to be 90. And this is what it looked like. All right? So a Plymouth Satellite is not much. And a 73 is really not much. But I got a great deal on it. And the guy had restored the engine. And he was working on the outside. And so I had a son who was 16, 17 years old. Go, okay, we're going to buy this thing. We'll see what we can do with it. So we started to work on it. We sanded the outside. It had a vinyl top, you know, those beautiful vinyl tops. We peeled off the vinyl top and sanded that down. I went to a junkyard, and they had a hood for a Plymouth Roadrunner, because the Plymouth Roadrunner is the exact same vehicle, body style-wise, except for the scoop. It's got this big scooped hood. The wheels were so, I mean, look at those wheels. The wheels were terrible. Hubcaps and all that. So I bought Kreger rims. And if you know what Kreger rims are, well, you're old. Beautiful, though. I put in a sound system that just played off of my phone. It had an amplifier. That's how I got it to work. Put that thing in. One night, a buddy of mine came to my house. He came to my house on a Saturday night. And I'm going to speak the next morning. You know, what could be possibly so important that you have to find me on Saturday night? He brought me a subwoofer. I said, you know those people that you hate, that they drive down and they blast? I was one of them. I used to blast Stevie Wonder. It was great. My son blasted the Beastie Boys. Yeah, it was so, so fun. We put this whole thing back together. That's what it looked like. And then it became this. Put a four barrel in it. It sounded like it was going 100 miles an hour. It wasn't, but it sounded like it. There's a joke about old cars like this. They can pass anything except a gas station. We took that vehicle and we went beyond its original specs. That's what God is promising us that heaven is. Isaiah 65:17, behold, I will create new heavens, a new earth. 2 Peter 3, in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Revelation 21:1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Over the course of my life, I've been to some very beautiful places. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Niagara Falls is so funny because when you go up to it, it's the most touristy trap ever. It's awful. But then we went in the Maid of the Mist, and it takes you right to the base of the falls. And you have to, you know, they suit you up so you're not getting wet. And the sound of that water crashing down and the beauty is amazing. I do remember I took my kid, and all she said was, "Dad, can we get a churro?" It was awesome. When my son was 13 years old, I took him on a trip, rite of passage trip, to different places. It was all in Arizona, which is where I live now. And I took him to the Grand Canyon. And we pulled up, and that day it was snowing, and I couldn't see anything. I'm thinking, really? I traveled all this way, and I can't even see the canyon? 45 minutes later, it cleared. We drove back out, and it was amazing. You can't explain it, right? You just can't explain it. Let me tell you, the place that you went in nature that you thought, this is it, this is the pinnacle, that place is just a run-down rental compared to what God is preparing for us. That place in Maui, Koski, going there this week, wedding, it's going to be beautiful. And I want you to have the time of your life, but that beach is just a shadow. You've been to Yellowstone. It's just track homes compared to what heaven is going to be like. Grasp this, a new heaven, a new earth. Okay, that's heaven for the nature lover. Okay, now, heaven for the business person. Okay, because sometimes you look at this heaven go, it sounds so boring. What am I even going to do? One person put it like this. Whenever I think about heaven, it makes me depressed. I'd just rather cease to exist. I can't stand the thought of this endless tedium to float around in the clouds with nothing to do but strum a harp. Heaven doesn't sound that much better than hell. I'd rather be annihilated than spend eternity in a place like that. Okay, maybe you can't totally relate to that guy, but if you have this internal drive, you go, well what are we going to do? Maybe you feel like this. Can you see this? He's sitting on a cloud in heaven. Man, wish I'd brought a magazine. Heaven doesn't mean that skill set that God gave you will not be used. He says that we were intentionally created for good works. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship. Sit in that for a second. Who you are, who you're created to be, is God's workmanship. All those strengths that you have. And I know that on earth, those strengths all come with a weakness. They come with a shadow side, right? Like if you're really intelligent, you can't turn your brain off sometimes, right? Or if you're too driven and you work really hard, sometimes you forget relation. In heaven, that's not going to be the case. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You and I were created to do good works, to accomplish good things, to make a difference. God's not going to take that away from us in heaven. He's just going to remove the barriers that we face now. Anybody ever annoyed with work? Anybody ever not annoyed with work? I don't see any hands. Listen to this. We're going to go back. We started in Genesis last week. We're going to go back there today. To Adam, he said, this is after they fell. They've walked away from God. This is what's going to happen. Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. What's the lesson there? Don't listen to your wife. Such a bad line. It's one of those you just wait all week to give. He says this, through painful toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow You will eat food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. That's how we ended up here. We did it our own way, and that's why we face frustration. And that doesn't mean that you can't find good and pleasing things in your work. God doesn't bind us to that. That's just the curse. But in heaven, the curse is lifted. Revelation 22:3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. No longer sweat, no longer toil, no longer thistles, no longer pain. Okay, let me give you another one. That's heaven for the businessman. How about heaven for the hypochondriac? Right? I don't know if this has ever happened to you. You wake up in the morning and you stumble into the bathroom in your boxer shorts, ladies. And you look in the mirror and you go, what happened? How did a pillow do this to my face? Man, you know, the older you get, the more ailments you get. You know, I was at the men's retreat. We played basketball. We were in the tournament, and I played in the first game. And at the end of the first game, I go, I don't know. So I had Justin fill in for me. I think we were a little better when Justin popped in. Look, that's just what happens to our body. Go look at yourself somewhere. This just isn't right. I had hair where I wanted it. And now where I don't, you know, like, why? What do I need this much hair on my ears for? 1 Corinthians 15 says this: the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. Okay? Kind of painting a picture of the universe. So will it be at the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable. Your body is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Right? It doesn't expire. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. This body brings disease and hurt and pain and muffin tops and all the things we hate. But that body will be your body perfected. And the closest we can understand of what that body will look like will be what the risen Christ looked like. And I don't know if you remember, if you've read any of that, but he looked just like Jesus. And he could eat food, and people could feel the nail prints in his hands. He was real. I also noticed that he could walk through walls. And all of a sudden, he could show up at different places. Now, I don't know that this is true, but I have this idea in my head, at least, that time and space won't limit us, that we will be able to go to different parts of the world. You know, that's what Jesus was able to do. And it says that that's the kind of body that we're going to have when we get into eternity. Now, who's up for it? Man, that sounds good. Okay, I have one more. Heaven for the animal lover. I know this sounds weird, but there are people who go, you know what? I don't want to go to heaven unless Mr. Jingles can come with me. I just love these words. I read them last week and I'll read them again. Isaiah 11:6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand in the viper's nest. In heaven, there will be no barrier between us and animals. A couple years ago, my wife gave me, for Christmas, she gave me two passes to the San Diego Zoo, one for me and one for her, which seems like a gift for her, too. But I love it. It's just so great. And when I go, I'm looking at the bear and going, God, it just looks like I just want to crawl over the edge and just, you know, give it a nice belly edge or you know, there's all kinds of leopards. You just want to scratch them behind the ear. We know what would happen if I did that, right? I mean, pretty soon I'd be running in the intestinal tract of a bear. But in heaven, that's the kind of relationship we'll have with animals. But here, that's not the way it is. They don't want anything to do with us. And I have proof. Last year, my daughter noticed in her backyard that she couldn't really go into her backyard because there were some birds that were nesting nearby. And when they have little baby birds, they're very territorial. So my wife said, hey, maybe we should buy them. You buy the owls or the hawk. We bought a hawk that we put in the backyard to kind of scare them away. And my wife said, why don't you test it to see what it's like without it? This is what happened.
Did you try it without them?
Uh-huh. Yep. Sit down at it. Uh-huh. Oh! Come in!
Okay, what's more cruel, the bird or my wife sending me out there? Animals don't like us, but in heaven we'll connect. And I'm not sure that your dog will be in heaven. Mine will, but I'm not sure your dog will be in heaven. But there will be animals in heaven. It reminds me of a story, all right? So cat was run over by a car, and the parents decided that they needed to get rid of the remains before Billy came home. But Billy he's 4 years old, he kind of figured it out, says, hey, what happened to the cat? And mom said, well, Billy, the cat died, got run over by a car. But don't worry, it's in heaven. So Billy said, Mom, what in the world would God want with a dead cat? I don't know if your pet's going to be there, but your imagination isn't big enough to conceive of what God has prepared for us. Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Just take a second. Just look at those words. How does it feel to have a loving heavenly dad who has prepared a place like that for you? We long for this. We want this. There's something inside of us that longs for this. Here's an interesting thing I've noticed. We're shocked by things that we shouldn't be shocked by. When somebody gets sick, we're shocked by it. Why are we shocked? We've never known anything but disease. We're shocked by it. When somebody dies, it's the worst thing for us. We're shocked by it. I get it. I feel that same way. We've never known anything other than being in this world and watching people come and go. You look at the world and you go, oh, global warming or smog, pollution. We're shocked by it. Why are we shocked by it? We've never known anything other than this. You hear about injustice. It bothers us. Injustice is one of the things that is hardest for me. People not treated the way they're supposed to be treated. You know what? We were invented to be in eternity where there's no injustice, where there's no hurt and pain and death. We have a longing for heaven. It was placed there by God. So heaven is all those longings that you've ever wanted your whole life. John 14:2. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He just wants us to, we're just going to hang out. Now, that's heaven. just giving you the brochure. Maybe you're not interested. There is another option for you. What about hell? We have some images of hell, thanks to the Far Side. Okay, here you go. Aerobics in hell. Okay, three more, two more, one more. Okay, 5 million leg lifts. Okay, these two guys hanging around, pitchforks. One guy whispers, "I hate this place." And this is for Mr. Jingles, too. Dog hell. They're doing all the postal work and picking up after themselves. Look, when we think of hell, that's what we think, right? Burning and lakes of fire and pitchforks. I'm not sure that's accurate. There are other views of hell. This view is held by the theologians in AC/DC. Season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me behind. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. Anybody know that song? You know, I just want to say that if you know that song, the odds of you going there go way up. Listen, I don't believe hell is party time. I also, my opinion, don't believe hell is just a giant lake that has fire coming out of it, right? That's our image. That's the image that we are portrayed in Scripture. And there's a reason for that. Jesus says this, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where worm does not die and fire is not quenched." Now let's contrast that with heaven for a second. Heaven is a place where all those internal desires that you have always wanted. I've always wanted peace. I've always lacked for security. I've always wanted joy. Those will not be, you'll have all of those in abundance. You'll never run out of peace and joy and purpose. It's you live to your fullest. Hell is the opposite. It's where those heart's desires that you desperately want are never quenched. And the best way we can describe it is a fire that is never put out. A burning that's never satisfied. So if hell is that awful, we reason, why would God send anybody there? Well, I have an opinion about that too. Shocking, I know. I don't think it's so much a matter of God sending people to hell. I think it's more people getting what they have always wanted. Because there are a lot of people, you know them, they don't want anything to do with God. They want to be able to make all their own decisions. They push them out. And if you don't believe me, then go to your workplace and put up a copy of the Ten Commandments and see what happens. Try to pray in a public place and see what happens. Try to post a cross someplace. There are people that want nothing to do with God, and so they push them out. And sometimes these people push them out because it's a religious idea, whatever. But there are other people. The reason why you push them out is because if I follow God, then he's going to make me do things I just don't want to do. Right? He's going to cramp my style. And so we spend our lives pushing him out. You know, no, yeah, I'm not going to listen to him. Here's another question we have. What about the people that don't hear, right? Because you hear about, you know, there are people in Africa, tribes, what have you. God tells us this, Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." If we believe in a God that is big enough to know each one of us, can we also not believe in a God that will give everybody a shot? And he's big enough to portray himself in just the earth around us, that the heavens can literally portray that. He can proclaim it to him. But there are people that will say, "Nope, nope, 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 God, I don't want you in." and they will finally get what they want. And that place is going to be so bad that it will be like a burning that's never quenched. And I don't know what it will look like. I wouldn't be surprised if it's an earth that looks just like ours. But you take people, imperfect people, and you put them anywhere. There goes the neighborhood. Okay, so like anything, any kind of vacation that you go on, there's always a question, right? What's the cost? There's a price tag to be paid for that. And I got to tell you, everyone in this room can't afford it. Everybody sins. Sin is missing the mark of God's original intention for you. And we all know that we've done it. And who we've lied to, and the people that we've hurt, and mistakes that we've made, habits that we've followed that have hurt us, we have all got it. And you can't afford it. So this is what Jesus said. I'm going to come down. And I'm going to be in relationship with you. And I'm going to show myself on earth. And I'm going to live a sinless life. And in the ultimate act of injustice, I'm going to be put on a cross to pay the price. And this is what the Bible says is the result. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm so glad the verse doesn't end there. And they are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The end of the book says this, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. A free gift. We didn't deserve it. And he gave it to us with his own life to open up eternity for us. Now, I hope you're encouraged. But the point that God tells us all these things isn't just so that we're encouraged. I believe a good understanding of heaven sets good priorities on earth. So I'm just going to give you three and then we're going to be done. And the first is this. You got to figure out where you're going. I've done a lot of funerals. At every funeral, I say this. From the time I accepted Jesus in my life, I have known where I'm going to spend eternity. And if you don't know that, it's time for you to investigate. And if you don't believe me, that's fine. Go investigate it for yourself. But if this is real and you miss out, you don't want anything to do with that. We just read some verses that says God is ready to welcome you in. You just come to him, accept his salvation, accept his forgiveness, begin a relationship. And I'm not saying that after you follow, you make that decision. It's easy. It's not easy. You know, you got to live differently. Some people will mock you for the way you live. That's reality. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. Well, that's kind of heavy. But the kind of life that you will get will be so much better than what you have. But you better figure that out. Secondly, once you're in, your job's not done. It is our job to reach out to other people in this world who are far from him. So I can say stuff like this because I'm just the interim guy. But there's a lot of times you get, when you're a pastor, you get people who come up to you and go, oh, we want more meat. We want more meat, more meat, more meat. And a lot of times, most times, it's for people who want to be deeper and smarter for themselves. I hate to say that to you. Maybe that's not you. But what I want to say to them is, you want more meat. What barbecue are you throwing for the unsaved with that meat? You see, the knowledge is given to us for one purpose, so we can join Jesus in what he is doing in the world. And if all of your knowledge is just so you're smarter, you missed it. Heaven is great. I'm glad you know about heaven. Who do you know that's going to hell? And I'm not asking you to save them. You know how many people I've saved in my, I've been in a pastor for 26 years. You know how many people I've saved? Zero. But I have befriended people. And I had answered questions, and when I didn't know the answers, I researched the questions and talked. I was in a relationship with people. That's all I'm asking you to do. You don't have to bring a Bible, hit him on the head, and go, "Get, repent." You just need to love him. That's our job. And there's one last practical. If you're suffering, here's your hope. Your hope isn't that you'll finally get to the place where, you know, on earth, you're going to be as healthy as you want to be or as fit as you want to be. And I'm not saying don't try those things. Do it. Do the best you can. Go to see doctors, get relief, all that. That is not our ultimate hope. You know, my ultimate hope is not that if I kept playing basketball, I'd be really great at it. And I just get better and better, because we don't. We all get worse and worse. And that your hope is that one day you're going to be with Jesus. And your body's going to be right. And you're going to be in relationship with people that aren't all broken. And you're going to wander through, you know, when I drive, I actually do love the pastures around here, but I notice every fence. And those are all going to be gone. We'll be in heaven. We're going home. That's our hope. Let's pray. First off, you know I got to start here. If you don't know Jesus and you want to make sure you get there, he just says, come to me. I've paid the price for your forgiveness. So just pray this: God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I had never done. I give my life to you today. I want to put you in charge. Like I said, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but you're going to have a partner to walk through life with who wants your best interest. If you just look at me for a second, if you made that decision, I have a card. Fill this card out and put it in the box in the back that has this card on it. We want to know about it. We want to help you on that journey. And secondly, I want to pray for the people that are suffering right now, that you would encourage them, that they would know that there's hope. And lastly, I just want to give you 15 seconds. Think of a name. Think of a name you want to befriend. Think of a name that you want to invite to Covenant Grove, that someday you want to fill a seat here. Because that's our job. You sit in that for a second. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price. You don't deserve it. But we're grateful that you are preparing a home for us. In your name, amen.